And now time for our community connection right here on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3. Ben Nicholas here filling in for Charlie Tarabelletti. Community Connection brought to you by James Phillips Medical Center, Tulsa Bone and Joint, and Tallgrass Motors. I am joined by Janice Blanton from the Washington County SPCA. I'm joined by Madam President here from the SPCA. How are you doing today?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing well. So let's just get straight to it. You're the president of the SPCA. What's going on with the SPCA? What's happening at the Washington County SPCA?
Well, right now we're really busy. We'll probably be on point to take in over 2,500 cats and dogs this year. So we're still trying to take in all those animals, keep them safe, and find them new homes. So that's pretty much occupying most of our time right now.
As I would imagine, that's a lot of animals. And I think it's a little, I mean, Washington County, I wouldn't say isn't that big, but that's a lot of animals. Is that big number for this size of a area?
You know, I honestly don't know, but I know that Oklahoma leads the nation in homeless pets. And like when animal control picks up a pet, for a dog, it's only a 10% chance the owner will show up and actually pick it up, and even 1% for the cats. So when we take in 1,200 cats, that means only 1% of them are probably going back to their owners.
And those numbers are obviously staggering and stuff, but SPCA doing everything that they can and everything that you can to help those animals out.
Right. I mean, I just have, you know, three pets at home, and it takes a lot of money, you know, to keep them vetted and to keep them fed. So it's pretty staggering when you're talking over 2,000 cats and dogs.
And that's a whole lot. And so you take those in, and obviously there's so much that goes along with taking care of those pets. It's more than just saying, okay, we're going to put a roof over their heads. There's so much that goes along with it, correct?
Right, because we're having to feed them. We're trying to medically treat them if we can do that. If we adopt them out, we make sure that they're spayed or neutered, and we're also microchipping them. And for dogs, we're also doing some behavior testing to make sure that they're not overly aggressive if they go to an adoption home.
So it's a whole lot of stuff, and it's a lot of money that would go into it, as well as time and other resources as well. But specifically, we'll talk about those in a minute. But funding, how does SPCA get its funding? That's a lot of money. You mentioned you have three dogs at home. I had one dog before I moved here. I still have it. She lives back in Texas with my parents. But she's a handful. She's a mess as it is, and you have three, so you know. That's a lot of money that goes into it.
Right. We're almost always funded by donations, and it's mostly local donations. We don't receive any national funding at all. Sometimes people hear the word SPCA and think we're associated with the national SPCA, but we're not. We're a local charity. We do have a contract with four communities to run their pound, but that only covers the pound. And the pound is actually separate from our adoption facility. When an animal is picked up by animal control or a good citizen who sees a stray, it comes into the pound, and it's not legally our property for 4 days. We take care of it, and we try to return it to the owners if the owners show up. But after those 4 days, they become legally our property, and then we go out and try to adopt them. So we do get some funding from, like, the city of Bartlesville to do the pound, but nothing from the government's for the adoption services.
So separate separate entities with the pound and the adoption process and a lot of things. Before we move on, you mentioned that, you know, it's a lot of donation based. How can people donate? I know it's a little bit early on in the program to start getting into that, but we'll come back to that towards the end. But just for right now, how can people donate, and how can people, you know, help you help the animals?
Well, there's lots of ways. We'd love for people to come out and adopt a cat and dog from us. I mean, we still, right now, we're about 187 animals out there, and we'd love to get them into homes, you know, for Christmas, or even have people come in and foster them and take a cat home for Christmas and see how it works. Obviously, money is always great. Canned dog food, canned cat food is good. The Young Professionals here in Bartlesville is having a pub crawl Friday night at 7 p.m. and all their proceeds are going to support us. So I guess a good excuse to go out and do a pub crawl would also be to support the Washington County SPCA.
Absolutely. And of course, I know I said it's early. We'll talk about, we'll go through that whole list of things again. But there's so many ways people can help the SPCA, and all of it, I'm sure, is greatly appreciated.
Right. And even just coming out and volunteering with the cats and dogs, you know, to take time and handle the cats and pet them. And walk the dogs, because the more those dogs are socialized, the more the cats are socialized, the better their chances of getting adopted out.
You mentioned a little bit earlier the adoption process and trying to get adopted, the pets and thing. Is that a big thing? I see all over social media, and I see over places the kind of the adopt, don't shop slogan around there. Is adoption for pets such a, well, it's such a huge process. It's such a important thing to do when you're picking out a pet, I guess.
Right. I mean, you have to find the right pet for you. You know, sometimes I see people with young children going out and getting a young lab puppy. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not the best, you know, pet choice for a young child because, you know, especially labs are very high energy. They, you know, they might nip or something like that. So if you have a small child, you know, an older dog might be a better choice or even a cat. You know, some people physically can't deal with, you know, a puppy that's going to become a 90-pound dog later on. So I think it's important to find the right pet for your situation. A small dog might be better for an apartment.
Right. And we, you know, you talking about those the older dogs, older cats and things. I feel like sometimes they get overlooked a little bit. People are all excited about the puppies, but the older dogs and the older cats need homes too.
Yeah, most of the dogs I've adopted personally have been, you know, at least 2 years old because it actually makes house training a lot easier. They tend not to have the nippiness issues. 3 years ago, I foolishly had a midlife crisis and I got a six-month-old border collie that was a stray. And I think it would have been cheaper to have gone out and bought a Ford Mustang to deal with that six-month-old border collie. So there is value in having, you know, a 2 or 3 year old dog. Or the last one I adopted was actually 12 years old, just looking for a retirement home, and I was ready to have a dog after the border collie that, you know, wanted right. a retirement home.
And so those older dogs and those older cats, they need homes too, and they need love just as much as the puppies do.
Yeah, and you know, we try to place them all. We have puppies and we have older dogs, we have, you know, middle aged dogs, kittens and older cats. You know, it's really sad. Sometimes we end up with cats from people who've died. You know, the owners have died, and we've ended up with the cats. And you know, it's really sad to see those cats without a home. If it wasn't for Washington County SPCA,
I think we're going to take a quick little break, and we're going to come back here with more Community Connection right after this.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Ben Nicholas here on K1AM 1400 FM 93.3 for Community Connection, joined by Janice Blanton, the president of the Washington County SPCA. We've been talking about adoption process and stuff. We're talking about how to help out the SPCA. I understand that Washington County has new hours for the SPCA there. How can people come? What time or can they come and check out the SPCA?
Our main adoption hours are Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6. And Saturday 11 to 4, but we've now offered the opportunity on a Monday morning to come out between 8:30 and 11 to do reclaims. And a reclaim is if you've lost your pet, mm-hmm. because we're normally closed on Sunday and Monday, but we felt like it was a problem for people who, you know, had their animal picked up by animal control maybe on a Saturday, that they'd have to wait till Tuesday to see if their pet was actually there. So now on Monday mornings, we're now open for a few hours so people can come in and get their pets if they've lost their pet.
And this is a kind of a big deal. At least I imagine it would be for the SPCA to do that. I mean, you're normally closed Sunday, Monday and stuff, and so now you're having people who are either volunteering or staff to be working those hours, correct?
Well, we've always had people there every day because every day we have to clean the kennels and the runs and the cages, and we have to feed the pets. So it's not that hard for us to open up the doors for a few more hours in order, you know, I know how I would feel if my pet got out. I'd be knocking at the gate to see if my pet was there and safe.
Fair enough. So again, that will be on Mondays now. You can go find your pet that may or may not have been lost out there. Hopefully the SPCA can help you out there. We mentioned the animal intake is just huge numbers for animal intake. What are some of the issues, I guess, facing the SPCA with that animal intake?
Well, first of all, the animals are coming in all different types of condition. Some of them have been hit by cars. Some of them have mange, like the dogs. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that we quarantine these dogs and cats and make sure that they're healthy before we introduce them into a larger population. Obviously, we're trying to stabilize them on a regular food diet and get them vetted if necessary to make sure that they're healthy. So it's keeping the place clean is actually probably our biggest challenge, because that's how we keep disease down.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of does it take, I guess, to clean? You guys are thorough with it. You have to be with all these animals. What kind, I guess, is the cleaning process? I know that might be a boring question, but it's so important to know, like, everything that you all do to keep these animals safe and to keep these animals and keep yourself safe.
Well, it mainly means picking up a lot of poop.
Fair enough.
And then we also have some disinfectants. And we actually, the president before me last year, Sherry Stinson, switched to a new type of cleaning solution, which kills things like parvo, which can stay in the soil for up to a year. And this new cleaning agent is very expensive. It's like $100 a gallon. But it doesn't burn the paws and pads of the animals. So that's been a big help to us. It's more expensive, but it means the pets are healthier, and it means we can make sure we're keeping that place disease-free.
And that's what I meant by asking that question. It's not just something you can just go in and say, oh, we swept, it's fine. You know, it takes, again, money to do this kind of thing and to make sure that the animals are safe, that you're safe, that everyone is in that environment is okay, and it's a clean environment for all the animals.
Right, and we also quarantine the puppies because puppies are usually not fully, just like a child, they're not fully vaccinated and protected. So, you know, if somebody finds a stray puppy on the street, I would highly recommend, if you're taking that puppy in, that you're very careful with it, because it could have a disease like parvo. And like I said, it can stay in the soil for up to a year. It could stay in the house for several months, and it's you know, a painful way for a puppy to die, and it's very expensive to treat, so it's very important. Sometimes I take in strays that I find in my neighborhood, and I actually put them in my concrete floor workshop, and I thoroughly clean that out once I've returned the pet to either the SPCA or to its owners.
Well, let's talk about that. Vaccines and all these kinds of sicknesses and diseases, it's expensive to do the vaccines, correct?
Yes, it is. There are usually a couple of low-cost vaccination clinics here in town, at least twice a year there are some. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way. And I can't emphasize how important it is to vaccinate puppies against parvo and cats against leukemia. Both of those are highly infectious to other animals. And the vaccines are not as expensive as one might think, compared to the cost of a $600, $800 vet bill later on.
Right.
And, of course, rabies is required by state law.
And so does the SPCA do the vaccinations? Can you do the vaccinations there, or
no,
you take it to somewhere else?
We actually, on our site, we have a vet come in every Tuesday. And
okay.
Actually, we have a vet, Craig Spence, many of you may know. He is actually doing spay neuters for our animals on Tuesdays, and then he also treats all of our animals and does our own vaccines. And we also microchip our pets before they're adopted out as well.
Okay. So shout out to him, doing a lot of good work over the SPCA.
Yeah, and like, it's very important that people get their dogs vaccinated. And like when I mentioned my border collie mess that I got several years ago, you know, I had to wait till she was fully vaccinated and immunized before I took her to the dog park, because I couldn't risk her picking up a disease from another dog.
Right, and so that's just a general tip for everybody, I guess, when those, you know, dog parks are a great idea and they're great for the dogs. But again, you've got to be careful. You got to make sure that your dog is vaccinated, and I mean, it helps not only your dog, but everyone else's dog, too.
Right, and the same with feline leukemia. Leukemia can be transmitted by any cat eating or being around the poop of another cat, and it's pretty deadly. So it is important that they be vaccinated, and it's not that expensive compared to the treatment of it.
Is this something you'd say that a lot of owners maybe kind of overlook? Is doing vaccinations, or maybe not think necessarily as hard or as serious about as they should have?
I think so, and also the spay-neuter is just huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, this 2,500 animals that we'll probably take in this year, a lot of that would be avoided if it wasn't for the unwanted puppies and kittens that appear throughout town. And the spay-neuter, there are low-cost options for that. We're working with Bartlesville ARF Animal Rescue to do monthly low-cost spay-neuters. And then we also have discount coupons at some of the three of the regional vets. And that's just so important because people think they don't need to spay or neuter their cat or dog because it's indoor all the time. Well, all it has to do is get out once, and then there's an unwanted litter somewhere.
So it's a low-cost option, and you know, obviously you have coupons and stuff. You're trying to help people to get those animals spayed or neutered, and that's going to help out the future, I guess, population of animals. You know, every animal that is unwanted and goes, it's tough on that animal.
Yeah, we would, you know, love to drop from 2,500 animals to 500.
Right.
Because we can't place that many animals here in Bartlesville, so we're actually having to take some of our cats. We take them to PetSmart down in Tulsa for adoption. We're adopting out one a day down on 71st along Highway 75, and then we're also transporting some of our dogs up to Minnesota. In fact, we had 17 puppies leave today for Minnesota, so they'll be there for Christmas, I would hope. And we're also going up to even Kansas City, but we'd rather not have to pay the cost to vet all those animals, to spay and neuter those animals, and to transport them. It's kind of a crazy deal.
I can understand. We're going to take another quick little break. I think we'll come back and talk about some tips for pet owners for this winter season. And again, I mentioned earlier, we were talking about how can people help. We're going to wrap that up again. We're going to do that again, so that way any possible opportunity people can help you all out, they can get that opportunity. We'll come back after this break right here on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And we're back here with Community Connection on K1AM 1400 FM 93.3, joined by Janice Blanton, the president of the Washington County SPCA. Winter is here. It's no longer coming. It's 23 degrees outside. It is full-blown here. How can owners help protect their pets, keep them safe? What can they do this winter season? Tips just here and there.
Well, the main thing, of course, for outdoor animals is that they're kept warm. So if you have a dog, a doghouse, you know, the best situation is if it's an outdoor dog is to keep it on the east side of the house where it doesn't catch as much wind, and put some straw or hay in there. You can buy it in the straw or hay pretty cheaply at either at Woods or Walmart. And I think Bartlesville Animal Rescue Foundation has some free dog houses. I actually have two feral cats. Well, they kind of live in my yard anyway, and I actually have a cat house for them that has straw in it. Then, of course, water is actually a big issue in the winter, too, because it can freeze. So if you have a hot, a heated water bowl, which you can also buy, there's some out there that will plug in that are chew-proof, so they have moisture. But obviously, when it's really cold, the best place for them, particularly at night, is indoors.
And so that's, I think, one of the biggest things is keeping those animals warm, as you said, keeping them indoors, making sure water. I think a lot of times people assume that winter months, for whatever reason, are a lot more wet than summer months. There's a lot more moisture, and not necessarily the case out here. It's not snowing, it's not raining, but it's just dry. It's cold, but it's dry.
Right, and they're burning a lot of calories. Like my feral cats, you know, they probably eat twice as much food this time of year, so that also means more moisture is needed through the water. And it's not specifically related to winter, but the number one tip I'd give pet owners is keep ID on your pets. You know, a $3 tag, you can buy tags for $3, will mean your pet goes home if it gets out. And even when I'm driving down the street, if I see a stray dog, I'm more likely to stop and pick it up if I see a tag on it than one without a tag.
Absolutely, and that'll help later in the process, those animals hopefully home, or just in general keeping those animals, again, safe, and then helping reduce that number of 2,000-plus animals every year.
Right, and microchips are also another good option. You know, some dogs will lose their collars, and a microchip is in the dog permanently, and you can get those your pets microchipped at any vet, but also Tractor Supply here in town does microchipping once a month for only $18, and that's a one-time fee. And I've even seen cases where pets have been stolen and the original owner could prove that they owned the pet because of that microchip in it. So $18 is a fairly reasonable investment.
Absolutely. A really really easy way to keep, again, your pet safe, to be able to find it if it gets out, gets lost.
Right.
Really just a good idea.
Every animal that comes into our pound, we scan for microchip. And animal control does, too. Mm-hmm. So if animal control picks up a stray, they will try to scan it for a microchip. And if they can identify the owner, 9 times out of 10, it'll go directly back to the owner without coming to the SPCA if they can locate that owner.
Right. And so it's really a really good idea. It's a really smart idea. It's a really easy way to do it, too. And it's you know, less than $20 at Tractor Supply. It's a good deal. I keep coming back to this. SPCA, how can people help? What can they do? Where can they go to help you help those animals?
Well, obviously coming out to the shelter and adopting or fostering. Helping your neighbors out with their pets would also be good, but we like canned cat food, dog food. Financial donations are always great. You can designate it for things like spay-neuter clinics, which is one of our big passions that we're trying to work on as well.
All right.
And come out and drink Friday night with the young professionals.
Absolutely. Go out into the pub crawl with the young professionals. Janice Bland, I appreciate you coming in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You still have time, but you'd better hurry. The new unlimited refill cups.